Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA, and welcome to our March 21st, 2019 podcast, 80,000 views and counting. And of course, I'm referring to our 3-2-1 craps betting system for low rollers produced by Jeremy Ellerick of Color Up. And it's a YouTube video, and seriously, it's been on there for 6 months, and it's crossed over the 80,000 views. Had to mention it. We just had to mention it. We're so proud that it's catching on. And it's just for low rollers, so check it out. Unless you're one of those people that are high roller, then you're going to have to change it a little bit to make it work for you. And for those of you who favor the dark side, that don't pass side, we have a hybrid system we call Deal or No Deal, which is very flexible and requires a lot of decisions on your part, you know, during rolls, which I think keeps your head in the game. So either one, Deal or No Deal has only been on there for a little bit, and it's already approaching 10,000 plays. It might end up being bigger than 3-2-1 craps. And if you're a hot roller, Deal or No Deal might make more sense for you too. But you can play Deal or No Deal as a low roller as well. I play both, or as I say, somewhere in between. And again, Casinos USA is not here to tell you how you should bet. We tell you how we bet. What you do, baby, that's up to you. And of course, legal craps games, whether you're playing 3-2-1 craps, smart craps, or Deal or No Deal, or something else that you do, they have to take place in a casino in some state. And boy, the ones in Las Vegas, it's getting a little scary. This week, the Bellagio was their poker cage near the poker player's room was robbed at gunpoint. And the man ran out the door and tried to hijack somebody in the valet area that was just pulling in. And a policeman, a Las Vegas policeman, tried to intervene. And the man shot him. He shot him. Fortunately, the Las Vegas policeman was wearing a vest and he was treated in the hospital and released. But another policeman returned fire and severely wounded a man. He just died a few days after the incident. Can you believe that? The Bellagio? People, you know, trying to rob the Bellagio? Oh, my goodness. But this story gets even worse. We're going to take you down to Fremont Street. Just a few days ago at the El Cortez, there was a literal gun battle. And four people, I believe, were shot. Can you believe? There's a gun battle. Now, Nevada is a right-to-carry state, and people can walk into casinos legally if they have license and secured the right to carry permit, registered their pistols. But I don't know, like, what should we do now? Should there be metal detectors so you have to tell the casino you have a firearm, concealed firearm, when you go in? I don't know. I own pistols myself. I own rifles. I own shotguns. And I'm not for gun control per se. I don't think you should be walking around with a bazooka. But what I'm saying is, this is really strange. Gun battles at Fremont Street inside the building, the El Cortez Casino Hotel. Come on. That's just too much. And I want to be honest. You know, I've said before, this is my personal opinion. Fremont Street is a dangerous place at night. It's dangerous probably any time, but it's more dangerous at night than not. And I don't enjoy being there at night. For one reason, I just don't like large crowds. And of course, that's where the crowds would be. I love Fremont Street for the ease it is to walk from casino to casino. Much easier than it is on the Strip. You know, where casinos, they seem close, but they're really not close when you consider how big they are and how far their properties extend before you get into the next one. But boy, oh boy, that's disappointing. And I know it's not just happening in Las Vegas. I'm not picking on them. Our daughter, Jill Nicole, lives in the Las Vegas area. And, you know, we're concerned about that, raising a family there, too. America's just a dangerous place. I mean, what are you going to say? But unfortunately, this week, the Las Vegas Strip took the big hit. And El Cortez in Fremont Street took one even bigger. Gun battle on the fifth floor of the hotel. Oh my. Okay, let's get on with our show. Ready to go. Well, first up, I want to tell you a story. You know, speaking about weapons, pistols, shotguns, rifles, guns, I should say. You can't cross state lines with pistols unless you purchase a federal license to do so, which is quite expensive. So my son was getting married at Mandalay Bay, and again, we live in Western Pennsylvania, and his bride-to-be lived in Wisconsin, but her family had retired and moved. I don't know if they retired or not, but they moved to, I think, North Carolina. So the wedding was at Mandalay Bay, and there were people coming from Hawaii and, you know, a lot from the Pittsburgh area, and her family from Wisconsin, and wow. So most of my family flew to Las Vegas, but my wife gave me an assignment, so you better pay attention. So my assignment, we had a Toyota van. I packed up the bridal gown and the bridal dresses, and I was off to Las Vegas myself. And, of course, I promised my wife that along the way, I would take my son's bride's dresses into the... my daughter's dresses, etc. She was in the party and into the hotel room. Every night I would carry those in so they'd be safe. And in addition, I was carrying at least 6 bags of golf clubs because there were people that were flying from, you know, my family and friends from the Pittsburgh area, and they didn't want to go through the hassle of taking their golf clubs on the plane. So, hey, you know, you're driving out, so... So I left I left like 5 days ahead of time. And I figured, well, I'll just get there and be by myself for a couple days in Vegas and have myself a hell of a good time before everybody gets there for the wedding. So I'm a big believer in being safe. And so I couldn't take a pistol, and I got some beauties too across state lines, but I took a shotgun, which is legal. I took a shotgun across state lines. And I put the shotgun bag into my golf bag. I put the shotgun into my golf bag. And so, you know, I got to Mandalay Bay and waited for everybody to arrive. And both families were going to meet there. And because people, you know, at the wedding, most of them were staying there. Not everybody. Some people were staying in other casino hotels. But we were going to all go golfing. So, okay, so... I unload the dresses and all that, and I have that. We have a huge suite for this thing, and, you know, why not? So we go golfing, and I had totally forgotten about my loaded shotgun in the golf bags. Now, you could call me a jackass, and I would probably agree because, so we go to somebody had connections at a country club in Las Vegas, and we had made golf reservations for a party of, what, 16 or something like that. And can you believe it? So they're, you know, they're doing their thing. They're unloading our golf bags from our vehicles. And like I said, I have my family side in my Toyota van at the time. So the concierge comes over to me and he says, "What do you do?" And I said, "What do you mean?" I'm pretty kind of quick to take offense at times. He said, "What do you do?" I said, "What do you mean, what do I do?" He said, "Like, what's your work?" And I said, "That's my business." But my friends were right beside me. They said, "Well, we're contractors." And he said, "Well, I don't know what you guys do, if you're contractors or not, but you have a loaded shotgun in your golf bag." Which I totally forgot about. So I'm thinking, he's thinking we're hitmen because we're all of Italian descent and, you know, we have these Italian surnames. And he's thinking, these people are bad dudes, man. They came here like, what the hell's wrong with these people on this golf course? So I said, "You want me to take it out of the golf bag?" He goes, "No, I don't. Just leave it in the golf bag. We're going to follow you around the golf course." And so they had a couple rangers. And I don't know if they were armed or not. I'm saying they were. But we had a couple of rangers follow us through 18 holes of golf, thinking that we're from the freaking mob in the East, and we came to pop somebody at that country club. Oh, do I get kidded about this? You know, what a jackass I was. I just totally forgot about having a loaded shotgun in my golf bag. Of course, it pops up. Oh, my goodness. What a ridiculous story, but it's absolutely true, and I'm still embarrassed by it. Needless to say, it was a joke of the wedding, and my son remains happily married and has two children and lives in Maryland, of all places, but they're doing great. And, oh, my goodness. I just had to share that. So do I believe in guns? Yeah, I do. But you better remember where you put them. You better remember where you put them. Okay, short break. We'll be right back. So Sunday, March 17th has passed, and just 4 days ago from our podcast, but that's St. Patrick's Day. And as a Notre Dame graduate, I'm going to tell you a St. Patrick's Day story. Oh, my goodness, St. Patrick's Day. And I'm not Irish, but, you know, being a graduate from Notre Dame, it kind of makes me like an Irishman, at least on St. Patrick's Day. I've heard it said that everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day. And I don't know how seriously you take this, but as they say to start stories, years ago, I enjoyed my first St. Patrick's Day at Notre Dame and ended up in Chicago, Illinois. And, of course, Notre Dame is in South Bend, Indiana. So that's a different state, you know. And I was with a Chicago classmate, who's the son of a Chicago policeman. And there was a crew of us, and we enjoyed St. Patrick's Day to start at the Notre Dame campus, which is like freaking crazy on St. Patrick's Day, St. Mary's College and Notre Dame. Oh, my goodness, St. Patrick's Day. But we enjoyed the rest of St. Patrick's Day in Chicago, Illinois, which the Green River, of course, you know, every year they annually dye the river green. I'd say that's a statement. That's a statement. And we did the thing, you know. We went to John's house and met his family and his grandparents. And, of course, they start the day with 6 a.m. Mass, and after Mass, they start drinking, and they don't stop drinking until, like, the next day, okay? So I'll never forget it. I don't remember it in great detail, of course. I think it has something to do with drinking green beer all day long. But we got back to the Notre Dame campus safe and sound. We weren't driving. Somebody else was doing the driving, so never drink and drive. I'll be the first one to say that. But goodness gracious, we have to say, belatedly to everyone listening to the podcast, happy St. Patrick's Day 2019. Hey, and go Irish, baby. Go Irish. But there was a young man, I guess, from Hawaii at the Plaza Hotel downtown Las Vegas on St. Patrick's Day that had a better St. Patrick's Day than you or me, even if we had great ones, because he was playing a progressive slot machine there, Monopoly Millionaire. It's the truth. He hit for over $1 million on St. Patrick's Day. Can you believe it? The Las Vegas Review-Journal, he remains unnamed. I guess that must be his legal choice. But he was from Hawaii, and he's going home with over $1 million. Oh, my goodness. Oh, St. Patty. What a day. And we're going to move along now to a major feature today, March Madness. I'm going to talk a little bit about the women's tournament and a little maybe in-depth more about the men's tournament and talk about the bets that we have working for us on Thursday, the podcast day, the opening day of March Madness. And, of course, we can enjoy it now in Pittsburgh because we have our own sports book at the Rivers Casino downtown. We don't have to go to Las Vegas to do it anymore. But if you are in Las Vegas, I've been there for March Madness. Enjoy it, man. It's wild as can be. So I'm hoping to have a good time at the Rivers as well. But we'll be right back after a short break talking about March Madness everywhere in the country, anywhere you can bet. Okay, here we go. I think the women's tournament is probably interesting for the first time in a long time. People were saying, who can beat Connecticut? Anybody? Anybody? Because the first four seeds left Connecticut out. It's Baylor, Notre Dame, Mississippi State, and Louisville. They're the number one seeds in this year's women's NCAA tournament. And that's pretty wild. Baylor has won, coming into the tournament, 23 consecutive games, and that's the longest active streak of the teams coming in, the number one seeds. So I would have to say Baylor is the favorite to win it. But as you know, Notre Dame won it last year. They certainly weren't a favorite to win it. Arike hit those shots, one shot against Connecticut and one shot against Mississippi State in the championship game, you know, at the buzzer kind of shots. And they won their first national title since 2001 at Notre Dame in women's basketball. But this year, pundits and I agree, this team has more talent than last year because Breanna Turner is back, and she's coupled with Jessica Shepherd inside. So they have more talent than they did last year. Whether they'll win it again this year, I don't know. But certainly they have a chance. Mississippi State's number one seed in the Portland region, and Oregon is the second seed there. And Oregon, in my mind, was one of the best teams in the country this year. So, you know, they could pop Mississippi State. And Louisville is the top choice in the Albany regional, and that's where number two Connecticut potentially awaits. That could be a battle. But Louisville did beat Connecticut this year during the regular season. I think Connecticut was haunted. They only had three losses, but they were haunted because their conference didn't have a lot of good teams in it. No other great team, but they didn't have a lot of good teams. And so it was strength of schedule that kind of bit Connecticut. But on the other hand, you know, Geno has won national championships when he wasn't seeded in the top four, so you can't count them out either. So really, I think it's a five-team race with the women. And if you're not into women's basketball, there's tremendous talent. These five teams are really sensational, so check them out. I enjoy women's basketball, and I'm rooting for Moffitt, but it could be tough to repeat. So Baylor, again, is the favorite going in. And the dark horse would be Stanford, which is on Notre Dame's side of the bracket. Stanford's a number two also that could come up and bite the Irish. So let's see what happens. Okay, now we're going to turn our attention to the men's tournament. So the four top seeds are Duke, Virginia, North Carolina, and Gonzaga. And the number twos behind them, who definitely have enough talent to win it, are Michigan State, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Michigan. They're all number two seeds. You put those eight teams together, they have won 85% of their games, and they are all loaded. And, you know, you might be thinking, well, Duke is going to be the national champion, and it's 2-1 odds, you know, to take Duke. But here's the one weakness that Duke has, and it's foul shooting. Their star, what a great player, Zion Williamson. He's about as dominating a force as can be. But he's not a good free throw shooter. He's just shooting 65%. In fact, you might be surprised to learn 65% from the foul line. 75% is the standard. And we'd want even better than that, but that's the standard. That, like, that's what you must have. And he's below that. And the Duke Blue Devils as a team are only shooting 69% from the free throw line. So that could be what takes them down if they come down. They may not come down, right? They have a tremendous amount of firepower, okay? But, you know, anything can happen, and that's why we're suggesting to you that money line bets make a lot of sense in this tournament. Money line bets, you're just picking the winner. It doesn't involve a spread. So we wanted to share our money line bets with you for Thursday, and that's the day the podcast comes out. I hope you have still time to place a bet if you want to. But again, this is how we're betting on Thursday, and you can bet how you want to. You know, you might be a lot smarter than following us, but we wanted to share that with you. So we're making three bets on Thursday, and here they are. We're not betting women tournament. We're just betting just the men. Our first bet is we're taking Purdue on the money line, which is the favorite, over Old Dominion. You know, I'm not concerned about point spreads. Again, we're taking Purdue on the money line over Old Dominion. And, of course, we're going to have to bet more to win less, but we think still a good bet. Virginia is favored by 23.5 points, and I'm going to stay away from taking a team like that. So we're taking the money line on Virginia over Gardner-Webb. Again, we're taking the money line on Virginia over Gardner-Webb. And we are taking the upset. We're taking Oregon which is not a favorite, taking Oregon on the money line to take Wisconsin. Wisconsin has a higher seed, but they're only favored by 1 point. But we're taking Oregon on the money line to upset Wisconsin. And those are our three bets. We want to express our great concern for those poor states in the middle of the country that got hammered by an unusual weather pattern, and they're dealing with flooding. You know, it's heartbreaking, and you're certainly in our thoughts and prayers. And we wish you all the strength of the good Lord that can give you to bounce back. Casinos USA is a place that seeks life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it's also a special place where every day is Saturday. And we hope we brought you some joy in today's podcast. See you in a couple of weeks. Thank you. So long.
Hey, every day is Saturday.